Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG, online. We're at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com. Major snowstorm today if you're on the East Coast here in the U.S. Probably have off of school, if you're a kid, that is. And flights canceled, all kinds of havoc there on the East Coast. More information about that. Also, you remember that book that was popular many years ago, George Orwell's 1984? Interest in that is surging again. We'll have some details about that. And also, in a rare zoo escape, Sunny the Red Panda is still at large. Keep your eyes peeled. You never know. That and more on this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live. We're at 101.3 KPCG. We're online, kpcg.fm, a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. And if you'd like to listen on the TuneIn app, go ahead. There's plenty of places to listen. That's one of them. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at kpcgfm and send us any comments you have to comments at kpcg.fm. I'm Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon's here today. And Grant, there's a major snowstorm on the East Coast, but here in central Oklahoma, we're dry as a bone.
That's right. We are. Yeah, it's supposed to be like 1 foot, something like that.
They're supposed to get quite a bit of snow on the East Coast, which is, and it's amazing because here, you know, we've talked about this really strange weather, this up and down sort of roller coaster of temperatures. And on Saturday, it's supposed to be, I think, 84. Which is probably close to a record. I mean, you know, February. And then, but then Sunday, it's like 50, for a high, which is still nice, but, you know, 84. I'm going to have to rethink my wardrobe. Where are those shorts at?
It's a bit chilly out there today, and then up to 84, down to 50 the next day. Just sort of an example of the extremes we get in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
In general.
It's kind of been that way. It's a little bit of a strange year. The big snowstorm, though, on the East Coast there. It's pretty major. They say it's going to cancel about 3,000 flights or more. The Boston area and eastern Maine could get 12 to 18 inches of snow, according to the National Weather Service, which issued a blizzard warning for all of Long Island until 6 p.m. Eastern Long Island was bracing, they say, for 12 to 16 inches of snow with a potential for power outages. Actually, that's Long Island. They didn't put a period in their sentence. This is 6 p.m. Eastern. Long Island. No, there's no period there. So I think all of Long Island is pretty well going to get some. I don't know. Their grammar has thrown me for a loop here. They're writing. Who writes this stuff? It's Fox. Long Island's going to get some snow. I think we can be safely say that. They say the roads are in bad shape, covered snow covered and icy. And the snow was falling at up to 2 inches per hour and expected to intensify as the day went on. I was watching a little bit of, I think it was Good Morning America this morning, and they have the window behind them, and then you see the street, and it was really coming down. So it was actually kind of nice to look at.
Yeah, I like their backdrop on that show. There's a few, usually morning shows, they have the glass window right behind them so you can see whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm. I think the Today Show, I haven't watched that in years, but they used to have, they go out on like the street, and they'd have people there holding signs, you know, hi, mom, and, you know, stuff like that. And they always try to make it look like it was a big event, but I always wondered how many people were really there, you know, it was 10 or 15. You pay people to go out there, kind of drum up some excitement. I don't know.
It would be hard to be too enthusiastic about just standing out there and hoping to get on TV for 1 second.
Talk to Al Roker yeah. About the weather. New York's going to get a lot of snow, 8 to 12 inches. Philadelphia, 4 to 8. Yeah, near whiteout conditions possible over there. So New York Mayor Bill de Blasio tweeted Wednesday night that his city would close its schools, biggest school district in the country. About 1 million students attend the city's 1,800 public schools. And so they all had the day off. You know, when you're going to get a day off from a school, you always appreciate it when they cancel the night before. And you can stay up. It's like a little bit of a special night. Otherwise, you don't know. You got to still go to bed on a normal time and get up in the morning. You're not sure. And I remember the school district I was in. It always seemed like they would never cancel, but they did sometimes. But a lot of times it was like 10 minutes before the bus showed up. So it was still nice, but you already got up and got going. What about a little sleep in time?
Well, at least that way you have the whole day ahead of you for whatever party experiences you want to have on the day off.
That is true. Most of them included shoveling the driveway.
Well, that's kind of a bummer then.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, just a little change of pace. Anything to change the pace is nice. So if you're on the East Coast today, enjoy the weather. Hopefully you don't have to, if you don't have to get out and travel, it's nice. It's fun to watch the snow come down. And as long as you don't lose power and you're someplace warm and you're safe, a little snowstorm is fun.
Or if you have a little emergency kit in the back of your car, like we've talked about before, that'll help.
Yeah, you have to have those. They always say you should put like a Snickers bar in there to give you a little little extra energy if you need it. But then you have to have the discipline to not eat it before the emergency. I'm having a hunger emergency.
One of my classrooms recently was stocked with like a 12-pack of Coca-Cola. And I don't know if it was for like a science experiment or what, but those didn't take long to disappear after I started teaching in there.
Yeah, it is funny how if something's just out, it disappears not too long. You know, you never sit down and just drink 12, but you know, over the course of a few days, if they're sitting there, they have a habit of disappearing. Wikipedia, that they're not considered to be necessarily a credible source, are they? Because anybody can kind of put info in there. Like you can find some good info, but it's a little bit dicey.
Yeah, there is a pretty raging debate about Wikipedia. If you go to Wikipedia, it has a bunch of sources on the bottom. Mm. And so if you click on those sources, those ones might be more credible. So I think that's kind of a way to use Wikipedia more wisely. But yeah, anyone could edit that thing. It just, the thing is, usually there are some really diligent editors who will correct any jokes that are put in there,
right,
or any fake news.
Well, yeah, they're going after one news source, and Wikipedia is. This headline says Wikipedia bans editors from citing Daily Mail as source. So if Wikipedia thinks you're not valid, I don't know what that says. Wikipedia editors voted Wednesday to bar the Daily Mail as a source of reference in its entries, saying that the news website was, quote, generally unreliable. Oh, that's, you know, that's a shot there. If Wikipedia is telling you you're unreliable, I don't know. Yeah, think about it. The editors said, the editors of Wikipedia, the vote in favor of the ban stemmed from the website's, quote, reputation for poor fact-checking, sensationalism, and flat-out fabrication. The Wikipedia Foundation said in a statement that editors had discussed the reputation of the Daily Mail since 2015. Hmm. So Daily Mail is out.
Yeah, Daily Mail, I guess, from what I remember of it, it can be controversial, or the headline is too hard to believe, and then once you read the actual story, it's not quite what the headline implied. So that does make sense in a way. Wikipedia does get a bad rap because a lot of the time, if I'm looking for just an overview of a subject, it's the first thing that'll pop up, and that's pretty convenient, actually, where other times, if you're just going to a bunch of other websites, it's hard to find just a direct answer to what you're looking for. Of course, the issue of sourcing is pretty important, so checking out the original sources does matter as well.
Yeah. What I like about Wikipedia is that it has a lot of just information from on a topic. So. Yeah. If you're looking for a map or something, and you look, they'll have it. Somebody made one, and they have it there, and they pool, you know, different graphics, pictures, historical, you know, say photos or paintings, and all kinds of things. So it kind of gives you whatever you're looking for, whatever type of media, whether it's just general information or you're looking for a particular picture or something, it's usually there. So I like it for that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as long as you know the subject well enough to know when it's not accurate, it seems like they have some good information.
Right, yeah, I think Wikipedia is something we all bash on, but also secretly use. Like, everyone probably looks at Wikipedia at least to understand maybe the gist of a subject briefly and then go from there, get a little bit deeper from there.
All of our show material comes from Wikipedia, just as full disclosure. No, not all of it, not much. Occasionally we might pull a little something off of there, but yeah, it does have kind of a bad rap and maybe deserved. It depends on what you're looking up. You know, if you know about a subject and you look it up, sometimes you do find things that you're like, well, that's not actually accurate, but especially if it's a little more general and not like gravity.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. If you don't want to be completely ignorant of the subject you're looking at on Wikipedia. And if you look at the wrong time, that's when people have put in some sort of a sham underneath whatever topic it is. So you could be fooled by that if you didn't really know better.
They have those days on Wikipedia where they say, hey, could you just give us $5 or a dollar, yeah. you know, whatever. And I was thinking about doing that for like my my email or Facebook pages. Just like, could I get a buck today? Just see how many people go for it. I don't get enough traffic.
Probably a lot. You should advertise our email now.
Yeah. Just give us a dollar. So, you know, it's amazing how that stuff's sort of taken off, that like in terms of the GoFundMe pages. People do that all the time. And if it's like somebody died in a terrible situation, they'll put a GoFundMe to help pay for like the funeral or whatever. And especially if it's like a police officer or something. It seems like sometimes that's a good idea. The problem is, of course, inevitably somebody uses it for something that's not right, or they lie. And those stories pop up, you know, I have cancer, help me out. And it turns out they don't. 99 out of 100 people do, but there's that one that doesn't. And so that's a bad deal.
Yeah, it could be easy to get fooled on those things. And people ask for some pretty outrageous things as well. Like there are a couple of Thunder super fans who sat just a couple rows from the court every time, and they're having a hard time affording it anymore. So they asked for people to fund it for them.
Yeah. I'd like to go. I mean,
just be thankful. Get an upper level seat for $10. Come on.
Yeah. Go fund yourself. That's a website that's not that popular. Here's a story from Heat Street. And they always like to look at some of the colleges and what they're doing. Here's an interesting headline. It brings up some good legal questions, too. It says, college forbids classroom recordings after video of a professor trashing Donald Trump goes viral. So this professor from the Orange Coast College has forbidden students from making in-classroom recordings without permission. So you have to get permission. After a video went viral last semester showing one instructor describing Donald Trump as, quote, a white supremacist and his election as an act of terrorism.
Both false, by the way.
Fairly inflammatory. And I don't know exactly how you regulate videos. Everyone's got a video recorder on their phone now, and they can record the audio too, obviously. So, I mean, I don't know exactly how you would close that down. They say signs posted on campus warn students that unauthorized recordings were prohibited under the Student Code of Conduct and California Education Code. California law prohibits the recording of private conversation without the consent of all interlocutors. I'm not sure what that means. But is this a private conversation? A class at a public university? Would it be considered a private conversation?
I also wonder if those classroom recordings were legal in the first place. I mean, don't students who record the teacher in class do it discreetly as it is, and that's how the teacher doesn't notice it and tell them to stop? So it seems like they're just reiterating something that already existed.
Yeah, maybe it did. I don't know. When I was in college, it was pre-smartphone era. It's back in the Stone Age. But but there were people that had like the little micro recorders, those little tape recorders, and they'd record the classes. I'm assuming just so they could go back and listen to it later and kind of like get more out of it. And no one ever made a deal of that. Maybe they had asked and gotten permission. I never thought much of it. But again, like you say, are they going to confiscate your phone at the door? I mean, even if they have a right to say you can't record, people kind of do what they want to do anyway. And particularly if, say, a professor starts going off and getting pretty, you know, outlandish in what they're saying, you know, what's the first thing people do? They grab a recorder and they start recording. And it's just so interesting that this college is saying we don't want that happening. And I can understand it, but at the same time, everyone's recording the police. Everyone's recording everybody else. Why can't you record the professor then?
Why can't you tell the professor to stop going on insane rants in class if you don't want him to be recorded?
Yeah, you know, it's just like we were talking about yesterday, where people are getting their, like what they're watching on television, that data was getting stolen, or not stolen, but taken, I guess, without them knowing. You know, if you're teaching a class and you're not saying anything that's, you know, outrageous, you wouldn't have anything to worry about. No one's going to care if they took their, you know, their lecture on physics and put it up. Other than maybe, you know, it might take away from some of their revenue or something like that. I can understand that, but they wouldn't be worried about it in the sense of getting in trouble. You're only worried about it if you're saying something that's kind of out there, and that's probably what the bigger issue is here. It says, when the video of Professor Olga Perez Stable Cox's, she's got like 15 names. Did you have to call her that in class? Excuse me, Professor Olga Perez Stable Cox? Yes. Political comments surfaced in December. The professor's union called it an illegal recording. What if it was done by an illegal alien? Would that make it legal?
They'd have sanctuary, at least.
Sanctuary recordings?
Yeah.
Also saying the student behind it may be facing legal action. All right. A lawyer for the college Republicans said the student also feared suspension or expulsion. The president of the professors' union said in December that such recordings not only violated college policy, but also suppressed professors' free speech, denouncing the videos as Gestapo tactics. You know, if it is the law of the school, it should be followed. They shouldn't record stuff they shouldn't. That's absolutely right. But just the fact that they're so outraged about this, there's plenty of recordings that happen all over the place that are used to really go after people, that are edited to make people look bad, particularly if they're more on the conservative side. And I don't see this sort of an outrage. And to me, that's kind of the thing that got my interest in the story, was that how outraged they are, because their hate speech was taken and put up, you know, in a public way on the internet or wherever.
Well, yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, too, that every professor who is outraged there is a leftist, because what if that same professor were talking about, you know, there being a chance of creation instead of evolution? Would that be so outrageous to be filmed and made viral if all of these professors agree with that professor getting criticized anyway? I don't think they'd be so upset if they disagreed with the professor's statement. They would have been fine with it getting exposed.
I think that's probably what would have happened. But so anyway, there is sort of the more technology advances, the more they have to think about these different laws, and they may be on the books like no recordings, and that's common in a lot of places. But how do you stop it without confiscating everybody's personal materials?
Right?
Can you do that? You know, it's so. It gets interesting, and that is a funny time we live in. I mean, people can record just about anything that people do, and so what used to be more private is now public. It could be, and it's changing the dynamic of things.
In a way, videos like that are actually helpful to see sort of the brainwashing that's going on our campuses right now. Those professors are too smart to believe that Mr. Trump is legitimately a white supremacist, but they say it. And the students just agree with it. It's nice to actually know that that's being taught. It needs to be brought out.
Well, if you tie these last two stories together about Wikipedia saying they didn't want the Daily Mail, and then this professor and being taped, here's a website, Wikipedia, saying we don't want to use the Daily Mail as a reference because we don't think they fact check. And yet this professor is allowed to teach and go on rants about white supremacy and so forth. Did she fact check that? Is that true? Should you be allowed to be a professor and give opinion that in a lot of cases is false information? It's a good question. I mean, no one's going to bring it up. No one's going to raise it. But at the same time, it's, you know, you're paying to be taught by somebody that's supposed to be an expert, and they're telling you something that's not true.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wouldn't want to pay for that class.
Yeah, that just comes across as a completely ignorant or deceptive opinion that she's pushing on her students. If she did fact check, it might have been from some source like the Huffington Post that had like a what was that? Like an asterisk at the end that just stated next to the asterisk that Mr. Trump is a sexist, a xenophobic, a xenophobe, a misogynist, all these things. That clearly that source is compromised and biased, but other sources would not just go out there and say point blank that Mr. Trump is a white supremacist.
Interesting times. So that's a story there from Heat Street, some of what's going on at the different colleges. Here is a health tip for you. This is pretty common sense, but it's good to remember, I guess. This story says the one change that helped this couple lose 300 pounds in 1 year. Their headline actually said the one changed that helped this couple, but I took the D off. Just doing a little editing.
Here you are having to just clean up all these sources.
No big deal. Just
too sloppy today.
Just a national magazine. No problem.
That's egregious. If you get the headline wrong, that's just really bad.
Yeah, gotta go back and change that one. Of course, this couple was quite overweight. Obviously, most people wouldn't need to lose 300 pounds, but this is an example of somebody that made some changes. At one point, they say Lexi and Danny Reed, who were eating more than 8,000 calories every day combined, that they made some changes to that. 8,000 calories, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's not anywhere near Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer, but for any normal person not working out 8 hours a day.
It's a lot. It's like going to Outback Steakhouse. They have huge meals in terms of their caloric value, according to some charts I've seen. It says a couple consistently plan their dates around going out to eat and spending nights at the buffet, where the two would eat at least 3 to 4 plates each. At 25 years old, Lexi weighed 480 pounds, and 28-year-old Danny tipped the scales at 280 pounds. Last year, the couple made a goal to get fit and actually stuck to it together. They lost more than 300 pounds combined. So they made some changes. And the big thing they did start exercising, which is important. But last January, one of their friends challenged them to stop going out to eat for 30 days. That was the first step. Don't go out to eat for 30 days. Eat at home. And it was a positive thing. They stuck with it, started working out, and have improved their lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder to eat 3 or 4 plates every night if you have to also cook it instead of just going to the buffet line. So the effort, the time involved in cooking your own meals usually leads to eating a little bit less at least.
Yeah, and you can hopefully, you know, depending on how much a person knows about cooking, you can be a little more selective with the ingredients and things like that. So most people are hopefully not in this position where you need to lose 300 pounds combined, but everybody probably could lose a little from time to time. And if you go out to eat for a few days in a row, you do start to notice it. It does add up because it's very hard to go out to eat somewhere and not have it be a meal that's going to pack on the pounds a little bit. I don't know. Maybe you could go to a salad bar or something. But, you know, if you want to go out to eat, I don't know. I'm not hankering for the salad bar, I'll tell you that.
No, that's for sure. Yeah, it actually gets tiring if you eat out even just 2 or 3 times in a week. I just feel a lot more tired for some reason. It's just like it was a lot of effort to eat such heavy meals.
Yeah, it takes its toll. You ever been to that place, Super Salad? Does that place still exist?
I don't think it's here anymore, but okay. that was a place where you could actually enjoy some pretty good salads.
Yeah, it was not that expensive. It's kind of a buffet deal, and you got that soup or salad, and then you get a drink and like maybe a little dessert thing. And I know years ago when my wife and I were dating, that was kind of a spot we'd go to. We'd go there, and we enjoyed it until a couple of bad experiences. That's always the thing with the buffet restaurants. You get a couple of bad experiences, and then you don't want to go there anymore. I mean, once you're kind of soured on a place, it's really hard to go back. So maybe that's why they're not around anymore. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I enjoyed it, but yeah, that's right. Whatever the bad experience was, that could just ruin the whole thing. Sometimes though, you just need to give them a second chance after a lot of months of being disgusted.
We had a place back, I think it was just a local place back where I grew up that opened up, and it was a buffet place, and it was like the happening spot for a couple of months. Like, oh man, because they had really good food, and you know, you pay for one plate, get what you want. And those places would do well on like my family because we pretty much were one platers, and that was it. Other people, you know, you could tell like they're going to put them out of business because they're going back and back. But it was the same sort of thing, really popular for a while, and then I think management changed or something happened, and it was like, nope, nobody's going there again. You know, the food quality just was less. It wasn't as clean. And for some reason, it just – the whole thing changed, and then it went out of business. So that does happen, especially with buffet places, it seems like.
Yeah, that seriously does make a huge difference. I've seen managers at the pizza buffet I used to work at be very strict with the cooks and the people working in the back to keep everything clean, and other ones who didn't ever check back there to make sure things were going well. And the difference was noticeable pretty quickly under each different manager, how the place was even run at that time and the quality of the experience for the customers there.
Yeah, it's interesting. Piggybacking right on that, today, of all days, is National Pizza Day.
I heard about that.
February the 9th.
I've already done some research into it, too.
Have you?
I'm ready to go.
Grant is neck deep in three pizzas as we speak. No, he's not. Yeah, Thursday, February 9th, today. It's National Pizza Day. It seems like every day is something. Donut Day, Pizza Day, whatever. According to Pizza Hut, 94% of Americans eat pizza at least once a month. The average American eats about 46 slices of pizza a year. That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's about probably, yeah, eating it once a month, having probably four slices at a time.
Here's a few places where you might score a pizza deal today if you are interested. Some of these are known nationally. Others I'm not as familiar with. This place, Bella Brava. Never heard of that place. If you're in the mood for pizza in St. Pete's, so I guess you have to be in St. Pete's, Bella Brava has a tasty deal, half-price pizzas and flatbreads all day. And we have listeners all over online at kpcg.fm, so if you're in that area, enjoy Bella Brava for me today, because I won't be there.
Vicarious enjoyment for us.
Yeah, get two. They're half-priced. sound like a command. Domino's Pizza, that's everywhere. Domino's fans can fill up for cheap today. You can always fill up for cheap at Domino's.
Yeah, they've been making a move lately. They've like cut half their pizzas in half, like their prices at least.
Right. It says order a large three-topping pizza online and pick it up in-store for just $8. The chain is also offering a mix-and-match deal with two or more sides for just $5.99. Am I getting hungry yet? I wish you could order online and you could print it off with a 3D printer and eat it. That'd be the new thing, the edible 3D printer. Hungry Howie's. Not heard of that place. Hungry Howie's is inviting diners to take advantage of National Pizza Day prize, a large pizza with three toppings for just $7.99. I always laugh at restaurants with names like that. Hungry Howie's. I'm like, why are you hungry? Don't you, you know, shouldn't you be full Howie's?
Exactly.
Or content Howie's? Like,
it's not saying much good about the restaurant, is it?
Are you hungry because we ate your pizza? Did we do something to you? Why
something's wrong here.
Why are you so hungry, Howie? He's always hungry. Papa John's, famous for a lot of things, I guess, including the commercials with Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
They're having a deal. Papa John's isn't just celebrating the national holiday. The pizza chain is celebrating all month long. Customers can receive 40% off all regular price pies through March 5th. Papa John's was a staple for me as a young single man. We got a coupon one time for like 2-for-1, and they just kept giving it to us. Like, they never took the coupons. We just kept saying, would you take this? And the guy's like, yeah, I guess so. We did it for a long time. The coupon never ended, I guess.
That's incredible.
So when I see 40% off, I'm like, ah, I had the coupon, though. I get two for the price of one. That's a lot of pizza back then.
The next time you go, they'll probably take it the first time,
yeah,
sadly.
Yeah, I think at some point we stopped. We didn't even have it. We're just like, hey, there was that deal for the two for the, like, yeah, it's fine. Like, we just had
That's
to
incredible.
Say it. Yeah.
Wow.
Might try that out again.
Papa John's, they always seem like they have the best deals. Mm-hmm. To me.
Yeah, I liked their pizza.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to get a pizza I don't like. I mean,
true.
Very rarely will I be like, I don't like this pizza. But most cases, I'm like, it's pizza. Cheese? Crust of some kind? Like, how can you go wrong with
some
that?
Kind of tomato sauce. That's
yeah,
about it.
You can't go wrong with that. Pizza Hut and Amazon. I never think of Amazon when I think of pizza, but they say Pizza Hut is moving into the digital age. Pizza Hut and Amazon are partnering to give pizza and tech lovers the opportunity to celebrate for an entire week. Starting today through February 16th, customers who use the Pizza Hut skill command for Alexa voice service on Amazon Echo, if you followed that, Amazon Tap, Echo Dot, Amazon Fire TV, and Fire tablets will receive 30% off their order total. If you want to skip the tech and just get the grub, Pizza Hut is offering a medium three-topping pizza deal for $6. So there you go. Here's a comment that might be helpful for you from a guy whose username is Step In It Twice.
Oh, okay.
There you go. I don't know if you should listen to him or not. He says, if you know, to determine if pizza is good, give it the slide test. Tilt it at 45 degrees, and if the toppings slide off, it's too greasy. But if they stay put, it's okay.
Too greasy. Is there a such a thing, though? That's the real question.
I would do that test, but over my mouth. If it slides into my mouth, then I'd be like, eh.
Just greasy enough.
Just worked. It's a pizza slide. What's wrong with that? The toppings just slide. They slide into your mouth. So National Pizza Day, February the 9th. So maybe you'll be in the mood for some pizza now.
Oh, I already was. That's for sure.
We a lot of times we just go to the store and just get the frozen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we
those
got,
are really good too.
Yeah, cook them up. It's if you're they're thin. I like it thin anyway, so it's it works out okay. And that's today, pizza day. Of course, this one's happening from Fox News. This is an age of political talk. People like to talk it up about politics. Rhode Island legislator says she was fired by restaurant for political talk. So she was working at a restaurant for some reason as well, which is kind of interesting to me. But a Rhode Island state lawmaker was fired from her job as a waitress after her employer said her political views hurt the restaurant's reputation. Raymond Burns, the owner of Classic Cafe in Providence, said a couple weeks ago he warned Democratic Representative Maura Walsh, M-O-I-R-A, Maura? Moriah? Maura?
Moira?
Moira?
Moira. Yeah.
Moira Walsh. There we go. That's not a name you hear every day, at least I don't. Of Providence that her, quote, vocal political discussions during her shift were interfering with her work. He said the final straw was after the restaurant received a scathing online review. Walsh maintains that she had never been told to stop talking politics with customers. Well, that's like one of those things where, you know, I don't know, you get, let's say, pulled over for driving backwards down a road or something. You're like, well, no one told me I couldn't. You know, well, yeah, I mean, maybe, but you should know not to do that.
Pretty obvious.
Pretty obvious.
Yeah.
I don't think when they hire waitresses, they're like, make sure you talk politics with that's our main concern. Get the food out on time, but also talk a little bit of politics.
As soon as you brought this story up, I was pretty sure a leftist would be the one trying to push beliefs on other people. That's just kind of been the trend lately.
Yeah, she was pretty pretty out there, I guess. I mean, it wasn't like she was just saying general things like, hey, how about that election? You know, it's a little more specific. Walsh said that, back up a little bit. The review discouraged men from going to this breakfast spot because of what it described as anti-male views she had expressed on the radio and on social media. So she was pretty out there, social media, radio, and so forth, and being pretty anti-male. And then they go to the restaurant and she's serving them, so they didn't like that. Walsh said she has worked at Classic Cafe since she was a teenager and had been working there for 8 years before she was fired. His direct quote to me was, you know, we're very proud of everything that you're doing up at the State House, but your political views are affecting the business and we have to terminate your employment, she said. Fair enough. You own the business. I guess you have the right to do that.
Yeah, there's not too much of a problem there. So it sounds like she was both talking about it in public, but also at her place of employment as well, not just on the radio and social media. She was actually talking to customers about it too.
Yeah, it appears that way. She says it's a case of political. Burns, the guy that owns the restaurant, he said it was not a case of political censorship or denial of her right to free speech, but he said her public comments were hurting business. I mean, he didn't really care one way or the other. It was just that people don't want to come here, and he's in business to be in business, to make money. Now, he's not running a political campaign. So I can appreciate, you know, his point of view on that. He's got to look at his bottom line.
And it sounds like he agrees with her beliefs. If he loves what she's doing up at the State House, then maybe he's a Democrat too, but he also realizes that Republicans are part of his consumer base, and that's what you really need to focus on if you have your own business.
Walsh told the radio station that it all started with a posting she made on social media just before, in December, saying, quote, all my holiday cheer is for women, femmes, and trans. The rest of you boys can kick rocks.
Well, then.
Well said. And she took office last month after a surprising win over a longtime incumbent in last year's Democratic primary. So she got in. But her advocacy for raising the tipped minimum wage and her candid talk about her struggles as a waitress and 26-year-old single parent have attracted wide attention. And then she started making these comments and lost her job. So, well, it sounds like she has a job in politics, at least.
Yeah, it sounds like she's so open toward a parent discriminated against groups that she's actually openly hostile toward, men or whoever else she didn't include in that tweet there.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really difficult to go into an establishment and then have somebody come in to help, you know, wait the table and know, like, some of these comments that have been made and that attitude and that type of thing. You know, you'd feel, I guess, as a male, like, well, that's got nothing to do with me. I just want to eat here. I don't want to have you attack me for being a male.
Right.
So I don't know exactly what she was doing in the restaurant, like if she was getting, you know, hostile like this as well. But again, you know, when people are out on social media and they're making comments, it affects a lot of things, including your employment. And there's been a lot of talk about that recently, even how people going for job interviews, they're going to check your social media stuff. And if you've got things like this up there, you might have a harder time getting employed.
Yeah, and apparently, even if you're a prominent politician in the state, you can't really avoid the social media checks and then possibly being fired for something like that. So that's just something for anyone to learn from. It seems like no one's immune from that pretty common practice for most businesses. Don't be rude about your beliefs is all it is. You don't have to tell everyone else to kick rocks just because you're pro these other groups.
That's an expression I don't know much about. I mean, I've heard it, and I know it's not positive, but I'm not really sure. Like, I envision actually, like, walking around just kind of kicking a rock down the street, and I don't not really sure what that relates to. Maybe it's worse than I think. I hope it's not.
Yeah.
But I get that it's bad, but I don't get why it's bad necessarily.
Yeah, I guess it's what you could call a more PG version of a lot of alternatives you could tell someone to do.
I suppose.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's I have kicked rocks before. You know, outside,
it's
you see a
too.
Rock, you just give it a boot, see how far it goes.
It's fun.
Sure. Hopefully don't break a window or something. The Key of David program's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. Make sure you listen for that today. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Guest host Brad McDonald today from Ed Stone, England. And when you're checking out the headlines today, stop and check out thetrumpet.com. Here are some of the headlines. Europe courts Libyan strongman as Russia closes in. That's from Malta today. The dangers of Pakistan's tactical nuclear weapons from the diplomat. Germany, the not-so-timid leader, they're stepping up their leadership. That's from Carnegie Europe. And Donald Trump must act to end Iran's malign plan to seize control of the Middle East. That's from the Daily Telegraph. Some of the headlines at thetrumpet.com. Nothing from the Daily Mail that I'm aware of. So,
oh, bummer.
I guess we don't look at them too much either. Here's an interesting story if you're an animal lover or you're just interested in people escaping, or animals escaping, I guess, in this case. In a rare zoo escape, Sunny the red panda is still at large. So keep your eyeballs open. I don't think it's made it to Oklahoma, but Ohio, I believe. Over 2 weeks, the search for Sunny, a 19-month-old red panda who lived... Oh, sorry, Virginia. A 19-month-old red panda who lived at the Virginia Zoo in Norfolk has so far turned up little more than a few wrongly identified raccoons. I can imagine the questioning. Are you a panda? It's like, I don't know. It's looking around. Say something. Defend yourself.
A red panda, too.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's colored red? They have red pandas?
It's reddish from the picture, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it'd be funny. I can imagine getting that phone call. Hey, I think I got the red panda here. And they're like, that's a raccoon.
Did you question him yet?
Yeah. Put him in a lineup. Is that the guy? Yeah, that's a raccoon. He's wearing a mask. that red panda is an outlier, said Rob Vernon, spokesman for the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, a nonprofit organization. It says it's rare for animals to escape, estimating the number at about half a dozen per year, although no official data is kept. He said it was especially unusual for an animal to be gone for an extended period of time. So there's a few over the years that have made it into, like, the folklore and the legend because they've been on the run for a long time and no one's caught them. And Sonny may be getting on that list because 2 weeks is a long time to be missing.
Who knows? It could be in Oklahoma by now.
It
it's been
be.
2 whole weeks. Jump on the back of a couple trucks. You could be here.
Actually, there's one spot here at the studios where things like to hide. I'm going to check it later. I'm out by the stairwell. Get raccoons down there, all kinds of things.
Wait to return it until they put a bounty on it.
Yeah.
Like $100,000 reward.
Right. I've got you. If you want to see Sunny again, leave the money here. Maybe somebody stole Sunny.
It's possible.
So one of these animals, besides the red panda that has escaped, that has been particularly famous over the years, was a crafty mammal from the annals of history, the Harry Houdini of orangutans, they say, with the unassuming name of Ken Allen. Sounds like an accountant or a bail bondsman. Ken Allen will get you out of jail. Or it's an orangutan. Who rose to fame in the 1980s for escaping the San Diego Zoo not once, not twice, but thrice.
Thrice.
Sometimes colluding with other primates.
What?
Having achieved heroic status, Ken Allen was mourned by San Diego when he died in 2000. If she continues to elude zoo staff and the concerned citizenry of Norfolk, Sunny could become the next cage-busting creature of legend. Red pandas who eat bamboo and roam wild in the eastern Himalayas are an endangered species. There's only 10,000 of them on Earth. And Sunny is on the run.
I wonder if we have the conditions here for him, her, to survive.
I don't know. You may not be familiar with this sort of minor hit song from the late 90s by Sean Colvin, Sunny Came Home.
I don't know that one.
That was, for those that might remember that time period, that would be a great song to play right now, but I don't have it queued up.
Hopefully we can convince him to come home.
Sort of, yeah. Sunny came home, but then the lyric actually said Sunny came home with a vengeance. So,
oh, I don't, no, we don't never
want,
mind.
We don't want Sunny coming home with a vengeance.
Just stay out in the wild.
But anyway, the response from the community has been overwhelmingly supportive there in the Virginia Zoo area. Well-wishers have flocked to a Virginia Zoo blog to follow the twists and turns of this high-stakes chase. Probably just sleeping in some other cage.
Probably just right around the corner.
Yeah.
They just haven't noticed yet.
So is Sunny running the blog? Sunny's on the run?
Yeah, who else would know where he is at all times, could give updates like that?
So pretty interesting there. Rare zoo escape, Sunny the Red Panda, still at large. And yeah, keep your eye out. That'd be pretty cool to be the one to find it. I don't know what you do if you find it. I guess just keep an eye on it and call somebody. You know, I wouldn't want to go up and do anything.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what they would do. What would it do? Attack you? I mean, they're not that big, I don't think, but still.
Pretty sure pandas can be dangerous, though.
Yeah.
I don't know how big this one is, but still, they probably defend themselves.
Any wild animal. Yeah. You ever get that panda licorice?
Yes.
Delicious.
It is pretty good.
Yeah. Totally unrelated, but I was thinking about pandas, and I was like, that panda licorice is really good. Haven't had that in a while. So it always gets back to some sort of food-based conversation.
It would seem.
Yeah. That we should start a new cooking show or a food show. Do a news story about the panda and then be like, anyway, panda licorice is delicious. And I think it might be somewhat good for you, depending.
Hopefully.
Yeah. You've got a story here. This was sent in by one of our loyal listeners who likes to send in some headlines from time to time. And I saw this one the other day in passing. It's very interesting. It says, interest in George Orwell's 1984 surges. And maybe you can give us a quick overview of that book for those that haven't read it before, and then we can get into the story.
Well, basically, it's a book about a government that lies and uses things like doublespeak and newspeak, basically saying yes when they mean no and no when they mean yes. It's kind of about an authoritarian government that manipulates the people to stay in charge.
Yeah.
And I believe they also sort of limit the supply of information that the people have so that the people can remain ignorant. So basically, a lot of liberals have been buying the book 1984 since Mr. Trump was inaugurated as president of the United States.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are described, say, in 1984 that you could look at and say, yeah, we see some of that probably. But not just now. I mean, that's been going on for a while. The last 8 years have not been open and transparent as some people would like it to, like us to believe it has been.
That's what was just so shocking and astonishing about this book being so popular now. Where have they been all this time? Obviously, they agreed with Mr. Obama's ideology. He is radical left. He had the view of fundamentally transforming America. But did he not lie and mislead the people multiple times to make that come about? Just because you agree with him doesn't mean that a lying government only just now exists.
Yeah, there's sort of that perspective, I think, from the past administration and the supporters of it, where it was sort of an ends justifies the means. Like, well, yeah, we might fabricate this, we might not tell the truth, but it's for a good purpose, or it's to achieve our goals, so therefore it's okay. But there are a lot of examples of that happening. And of course, infamously, I guess, there was that, was it a State of the Union or whatever, where President Obama was speaking and somebody yelled out, "You lie."
He might have been addressing Congress, something like that.
Yeah, and that was a huge deal, and people were outraged, and you can't treat the president that way, and this and that. And now they're calling the current president every name you can think of and just loving it. And nobody's saying, hey, this is the office of the president now. This complete flip-flop.
It's just such obvious, really persistent bias. They never stop with their bias. If it's not okay to say to one president, it shouldn't be okay to say to the next president. And all he did was say, "You lie." That has been proven to be true many times. He's not calling the president a fascist or a Nazi or any of these other things.
Yeah. And in that case, he was lying.
That's right.
Pretty good. There's a lot of good information. You can read a lot of places about that. But
he was talking about healthcare at the time, wasn't he? Something like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think exactly what it was, but it was one of those where, when it's explained, it's like he was lying, but he was trying to, like, you know, I forget all the details, but it was one of those manipulative sort of, you know, claims where we'll never do this, we'll never do that, but he didn't really mean that. He meant something else. And anyway, when you read into it, and I haven't read it in a while, so I'm a little loose on the details, but you know you're getting hoodwinked.
Yeah.
But most people, if they weren't paying attention, didn't know it, and this guy did, and that's why he blurted out. I'm not saying he should have, but it just highlights the fact that people were outraged about that. And now, though, that anything goes when it comes to criticizing the current administration.
Right. Talk about manipulating the uninformed public like the book 1984 portrays. The radical left has made it a habit to basically commission every type of celebrity under the sun to vouch for them. So people who never look at the headlines will say, well, I like this actress, so I'm going to vote this way. They're not really making the facts available. They're not, you know, forming their stances or formulating arguments that will convince people to vote for them. They're lying and getting celebrity approval.
Yeah. I would say, in the last 8 years, we've been in more of an Orwellian type situation than we are now. Even if people don't agree with what's happening, you do kind of get it from the president himself, because he tweets it. Now, people don't always like that, but he kind of says what he thinks. So even if you don't agree, at least you know what he's thinking. And I don't know. I mean, he's kind of does what he says he's going to do. Now, it doesn't mean that they have to agree with it, but at the same time, at least you kind of know what's coming, as opposed to the previous administration, where there's a lot of smoke and mirrors. So if you're just going to talk about the way information is presented and actions are done, I think it's a little more transparent now, even though at least half the country doesn't like the direction.
Yeah. 3 weeks under Mr. Trump, we're already more clear on his motives and his goals than we were under the last 8 years of Mr. Obama. We were always trying to decipher what exactly he meant or what his aims were for some of his policies. Some of his policies, like with Cuba, you know, is he pro-communist or is he just trying to thaw a relationship? You know, is it malicious or is it well-intentioned but naive? We could never figure it out. Now, at least, you know, Mr. Trump believes what he says. He says it, he puts it right out there. And that actually, in a way, is refreshing to a lot of people.
Yeah, and the media is right in the middle of all of it. In both cases, they were a cover for the last administration, and now they are on the front lines of the war against the current one. And so, it is very polarizing, because you know the country is split just almost down the middle, exactly. Mostly the coastal areas, I guess, the bigger cities, and then everybody else, population centers, and you know, so it equals to about half and half. But maybe they'll start reading again. That would be good. I saw a story today where that reading scores, math scores, and science scores were down under the previous administration. So maybe if they're interested in this book, maybe they'll start reading again and pick up the reading aptitude.
Again, talk about capitalizing on an uneducated populace. Why is it that all of our schooling or our educational scores or ratings plummeted under the last administration? People are increasingly just ignorant of what's going on, and that does help certain people who are motivated to take advantage of that. Speaking of big coastal cities, there was one mysterious benefactor, they call him, who bought 59 copies of this book, 1984, and they left it in a San Francisco bookstore. It was on a table accompanied by a sign reading, "Read up, fight back." So finally, they're going to read up and fight back. They could have done that a long time ago.
Yeah, that's the thing that's sort of puzzling about this, because even though people that are buying books like this guy or whoever it was, even though they don't agree with the current administration, and that's their right, they're going about it in a strange way. It's not like the book 1984, because it's pretty clear what they're doing, at least. And so the whole point of 1984 is that it was you know, manipulative.
Impossible to tell.
Yeah. So that's what we just came out of. And that's what's strange to me. And again, people don't have to agree with the current administration's policies, but you do kind of know what they're doing, at least on a surface level. If they're doing something else, I don't think anybody knows about it.
Yeah, and also the radical left seems to lack all credibility when they show an open disdain for history pretty much all the time by eliminating those history courses from any requirements of graduating high school or college. And now all of a sudden they're saying that Mr. Trump is a fascist and a Nazi. It's just completely uninformed. They're saying, well, look at history. We need to speak up. We need to fight back because we're about to get taken over by a tyrant. They don't know any of that history because they don't think it's important to read. And they also say that history doesn't repeat itself. They think that, you know, actions are independent of anything that has happened in history. Now they're talking about history. Now they're so focused on reading and learning so that they can save themselves from what has happened in the past. That never used to be the case.
Well, somebody will make some money from this book, I guess. So that's probably a good thing. Is it risen back up into the ranks as far as being sold, I guess?
It looked like the Los Angeles Times said on Monday that it was number 3 on Amazon's bestseller list.
Wow.
It had been on the number one spot the Wednesday after Kellyanne Conway made that alternative facts statement.
Right.
Which I didn't even bother to look into that. I don't really know much about it, but it would seem to make sense that Mr. Trump's inauguration did set some sort of a record for people viewing it. Whether they were in person at the inauguration or not, everyone was interested in this election, so wouldn't that this have been the most viewed of all time?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it kind of seems like a squabble that doesn't matter. Like, yeah. Well, okay, who cares? There's bigger things to be concerned about.
It was some huge argument about crowd size. I don't really know what
right.
it was.
Yeah, there was a whole thing there one way or the other. And so, it is very interesting. I thought, obviously, it would be higher. I'm surprised it's that high, though, the book. Number 3. I mean, wow. I mean, I'm assuming it's always sort of kind of popular because it is like it used to be required reading in schools, and you know, people are interested in it. But to jump all the way back up like that, that's pretty good,
right? It really is skyrocketing. Apparently, the New York Times sales of the book increased 9,500% after what Kellyanne Conway said. So basically, they're seizing on one statement where I don't know. It's a debatable statement, but as far as a transparent administration goes, have we ever had a more transparent one than this? Have we ever seen a politician actually endeavor to keep more of his promises than this? This is not really the appropriate time to be getting 1984 if there ever were an appropriate time.
I gotta find a topic that I can write about where it always comes up every few years and then people get excited and buy the book again. You'd be making money forever. You get that. I don't know who the sales go to or how it's divided, but you know, can you imagine getting that like phone call like, hey, by the way, you check your bank account. Whoa, what happened? Somebody's interested in 1984 again. Yeah, really interesting. It's I think it's one of those books too where I don't know if it's read as much as it's referenced. You know what I mean? Like if people know that it's sort of this protest against government, but they don't really know what it's all about. And then they say, yeah, 1984, but aren't really sure what it even is in the book. So that could be part of it too. It's kind of a protest, but they're protesting what they've been doing. So it's kind of a strange thing.
Yeah, there's a very good chance they don't know what's in the book, or they'll even order it with the intention of reading it and forget that they hate reading and not finish the book. I think there's an outstanding chance of that happening. Some other books that are popular right now include The Handmaid's Tale, which is about a theocratic U.S. regime that strips women of their civil rights, again, because they think Mr. Trump's going to take away all women's rights. The indication for that, I'm not really sure what it is, but they think he's going to take away women's rights. And then another book that's popular is called In the Garden of Beasts. That's about an American family living in Hitler's Berlin.
Interesting. Well, there's a lot of books to read. It'd be good maybe to maybe read the Bible occasionally.
It would.
That's what Mr. Herbert Armstrong always said. I think it was he was quoting somebody that famously said, you know, it's the most people had it, but they didn't read it. I can't remember the exact quote, but, you know, it was the most popular book that nobody knows. I think that was the quote.
That no one even reads.
Right, because everybody has one, but it's kind of just sitting there on the shelf next to the Shakespeare. Things that people aren't getting into maybe as much as they used to, but pretty interesting. You can see how the media is definitely getting people thinking in certain directions and anti-government directions at this time.
Yeah, it's actually not too surprising to see the media really growing in arrogance when they see the way they're able to sway people's opinions basically overnight. They're able to manipulate what people think, what they want to read, you know, what kind of chants that they should be shouting in the street. The media is really, really operating people like puppets right now.
And that'll be the interesting thing to me. You know, will there be a pushback? Will that be stopped? Will it continue? How does it play out? So that's fascinating. But recommend, again, stopping and looking at the trumpet.com. You get some really great headlines there, some great analysis pieces. No doublespeak, just the truth there at the trumpet.com. So spend some time looking at that. Probably better than looking at 1984, although that was a pretty interesting book as well.
Right. That really was. I probably want to read that myself now, and I'll actually buy it and read the whole thing and not buy it as a form of protest.
Started reading it in 1984 and still working on it.
To be continued.
To be continued. Those are some of the things going on today. That'll do it for myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.